Let's start by chanting Shakyamuni Buddha's mantra three times. The four immeasurables in English one time and then right below in Tibetan. Taya ta om mune mune maha munaye soha. Taya ta om mune mune maha munaye soha. Taya May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Sentientam chedewa. To the pink sheet, and let's chant the two mantras at the bottom. let's start with Chen Rezig's mantra 8 times, and then Green Tower's mantra 7 times.
Om Mani Padme Hum, 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha.
Thank you. The children are welcome to go to their classes now.
Mm. 24th.
Today is Sunday, February 24th, 2013, Sunday Teachings with Geshe-la.
So, the question here, how do you teach a bossy young student that thinks he knows everything? I'm looking at you. That's probably better to meditate, huh? Just be meditating. Do some meditation, huh? Maybe. There's two. One for you, one for... Yeah, you want for Chibila, okay. Let's go. Let me do some meditation, okay. So then definitely I'll read some books. I'll read some books, okay. So this morning I thought about... So let me read something from here. It's called the word Xinjiang. Xinjiang. Xinjiang is like, how you say, sometimes they translate plancy. So this is something everybody knows, what plancy means. Do everybody knows? Yeah. Oh, maybe my pronunciation is not good. Plancy. Oh, plancy, yeah. In other words, pliancy. Everybody knows what pliancy means? No? So maybe better word. I don't know, because my English is very limited, so no. If I say in Tibetan, probably I'm the only one who knows better than help. Anyway, Xinjiang literally means like well-trained. Literally means well-trained. Xinjiang, well-trained. So what do you say?
Flexible.
Oh, that's probably good translation. I think it's good for that. Maybe it's better one. I think that's good. Pliant, kind of flexible. So when you talk about flexible, so reason I think it's important to me to tell you, some of you may think, oh, Gijigele, every Sunday he's doing some kind of meditation, maybe he's trying to pass the time. So that's not true. That's not true at all. Because here, people, they come here, I want, you to learn something, So, any form of, relief or liberation or freedom from suffering is, wisdom. No wisdom, no success, no progress. So that's why, we learn, okay? Otherwise, I can read something from the books. I'm not sure when you go back home how serious you practice. I'm not sure, So in this case, at least you learn something that you can do at home by yourself, you know. So that's good. That's the whole, I think, reason why I'm, you know, this, teaching this meditation again, okay? So now here, usually I say this from, you know, try to say this from my heart, but today I brought this text. So here, the question raised, you know, what is flexible? Or in Tibetan or Xinjiang, what is flexible? So when you think about flexible, there's two types, right? Physical flexible, mental flexible. Two, okay? I think knowledge is, in Buddhism, knowledge is very important because knowledge, you know, generate wisdom. Wisdom liberates, okay? Not just, you know, having simple faith or belief, that doesn't liberate, you know, wisdom. So anything, you know, from iPad, iPhone, if you have iPhone, if you don't know how to use, so it's not worth it. So if you just put your iPad there or iPhone there, just sit, meditate and pray that, you know, you will learn everything. That's not the way to learn. You have to educate. Similarly here, same. Okay, now here, like Xinjiang, flexible, physical flexible, mental flexible. Okay, there's two, right? There's two of them. So when it comes to then the whole this yoga things, you know, this about to help you to, your physical body become more flexible. Whole goal is to produce, you know, happiness, physical happiness, mental health. That's whole idea. Everything, you know, we read here, meditation, it all comes down to happiness, right? Happiness. That's what we do. Shindu Jangpa Khangashen, the question is, what is flexible? Luida, Senji, Nengele. Nengele, that's probably opposite of flexible. Means like mind or body that's so tight. So tight. I'm not sure rigid with what? Tied with what? Tied with something. I'm not sure. Tied with what? No, but mind. You can say, mind, rigid, rigid. Tied with, you know, something. Could be, you know, idea. Could be, you know, there's, when it comes down to mind, there's so many of them. You can hardly count. There's so many of them. You know, what kind of color in the room? Where this flower should go? How this glass should sit? Or is this like? It's good to sit like this. You know. The handle has to face like this. This is the wrong way. You know, then somebody says, oh, no, this is okay because it's easy to catch. No, there's inauspicious. Then the whole conversation, you know, that people get fight, you know. So it's like, so the way it's come down mind, you know, then you can say there are many things, you know. Like say, tight or rigid towards idea, your own idea, plan, things that you like, things you don't like, and you know, all kinds of things. You know, there's so many of them. So then, you know, this meditation that we are going to do, you know, to make your mind flexible, not so tied up with, you know, certain things. You know, and example that I frequently use, you know, if you mentally so tied up with French fry, that, you know, the best French fries from McDonald's, or which one is best? McDonald's. No, I only had from McDonald's anyway, long time ago. So then you go to Nepal. After 1 week, you are really craving for French fry, and really, you know, then you know, looking at all kind of restaurants. There are many restaurants for tourists. You go all kind of restaurants, follow their, you know, like sign. And then look at the menu, they say, oh, French fry. Then you are kind of happy to see French fry. Then you order. It doesn't taste good at all. It doesn't taste like French fry. It tastes like, you know, some kind of thing, some other kind of thing. Then you're disappointed. Then you are not still giving up the idea to finding French fry, but you are not going to find one in Nepal. So so if you become flexible, well, doesn't matter, whatever, you know, if I find one, I would enjoy. If I don't find, you know, when I go back to my home, I know there's McDonald's, I can get one. So they're very patient, you know, pace up like that. That's just an example, you know. Because I'm saying this, you know, like, I met a couple of people who somebody who's looking for French fry, and some of them who are looking for Dunkin' Donut. So those things you don't find exactly like America. Dunkin' Donut?
Yeah.
Dunkin' Donut. And some of my friend also suggests, you know, some of the chocolate in India that smells like Johnson baby powder. So that is not being flexible with the sweets that you're crying when you eat, you're disappointed. So anyway, there's no... Okay, Shindu Jamba, so now translation will be like flexible, physical flexible, the movement problem to ease the rigid or like tightness in the body, okay? Similarly, in the mind, you know, through meditation, it will, you know, kind of ease the tightness, you know, tied up with something, okay? That's the not being flexible. Flexible, physically, mentally, it becomes problems. So not being flexible physically, then suddenly you can move. You cannot move the body the way you want to move. You can move. Same thing. You can't use the mind the way you want. You know, I want to be positive. I want to be calm. I want to be happy. I want to be, you know, helpful. I want to be nice, kind. But, you know, I can't. I can't. So that means, you know, the mind not being flexible. Flexible, okay. So that's opposite. Ningele. Ningele is opposite. So now, in order to break that problem, the physical rigid or mental, what do you call rigid? Oh, that's too difficult for me. So anyway, so I say not being flexible. To break that. So now, flexible body, flexible mind is important. So there's no need. So now another question raised. Okay, second question raised. Which one, the generally speaking, which one people develop first? Like say, mental flexible or physical flexible? When it's coming down to flexible, mental flexible, physical flexible, which one people generally develop first? Now, this text has been taught long time ago, okay? The first, you will produce mental flexible, in according to this text. Now here, there's some problem. So now there are two things happening. One is like physical happiness, mental happiness. One is physical flexible, mental flexible. There's two things happening, okay? You see different? Physical happiness, mental happiness, one category. Another, physical flexible, mental flexible, okay? What do you think is important to know? What do you think? Should I explain? At least I'm, you know, repeating something that's been said. So that feels good. Rather than me just making up last night what to say tomorrow morning. It's not like that, okay? You are learning, I'm learning, we are all learning, you know, reading this book. So I read this, you know, a long time ago, so just, you know, to bring, make sure, just to demonstrate that, you know, that I'm reading from something. When it comes down to flexible, then first you will develop mental flexible, then physical flexible, okay? So there's something you need to investigate, okay? That's what it said here. It's something you need to investigate thoroughly, okay? When it comes down to happiness, first you will produce physical happiness, then mental happiness. Through what? Through meditation. He is not suggesting, through eating chocolate or maybe eating pizza. It's not like that. Through meditation. So, So now here, that's why I just want you to know, so why you meditate. Not because you come to Kadampa Center, not because you are trying to study Buddhism, not that. Because simply I have mind, that's why I wanted to meditate. That's all. So just kind of explains this. So now here, same mikbala, same mind, mikbala is object. Concentrate. So, same mikbala, same lesson. When you concentrate, so then there's a way to make your mind flexible. Concentrate. So, what do you think? Do you agree? Huh? Yeah, okay. So then, believe or not, in Buddhism, like every mind that comes with energy. Energy we call wind. Every mind is kind of like right on some little subtle wind. That's energy. You cannot separate. Every mind rises. So when you concentrate, so then mind becomes flexible, become like well balanced. Before it's imbalanced, now way to balance your mind is concentrate. Concentration will balance your mind. So then very mind that balanced energy, then mind rides on. So that energy will run through our channel. You cannot stop. So that's why every day, every single moment, so much energy just goes through our channels, in and out. Some of them, unfortunately, most of it, is like imbalance. Because because we are being mindful or concentrated or like that. so many of them, imbalanced energy will stuck in our channels. So that cause physical discomfort. Sometimes you are physical discomfort, then that contributes to mental discomfort. So then sometimes you don't know why you are not happy. You don't really have particular reason. I think it's causing by this imbalanced energies. They're stuck in your channels. So channels, there's like, you don't have to know, because I also don't know. I only know numbers, okay? There's 72,000 channels in our body, believe it or not. So I don't know all of them, so you don't feel bad, I don't know. I just know the numbers. 7,000 channels. So now this meditation here, we don't have to do meditation. When we do it well. Okay. So this is called 9-round breathing meditation. 9-round breathing meditation. Some of you already know. I said this many times. I guided this meditation many times. So you don't need to say any prayer. You just sit. Comfortably, and this, you can share this meditation with your friends, with your kids, So this is called 9-round breathing meditations to get rid of any imbalanced energies that's stuck in your channels. To get rid of that, first get rid of, then create more balanced energy. Okay, so what you do, you sit comfortably. And according to meditation traditions, they says when you meditate, so this is all about energies running into channel, in and out. So meditation cushions should be a little bit like this. When you sit, your back part has to be a little bit high, like this. But here it's kind of like that. So anyway, somehow, it will help, like that. So then, two different ways to sit. One is cook Italian pasta. Italian pasta that cooks, it's already cooked with tomato. So then it's like all like that. So you sit like uncooked Italian pasta. straight. Okay, it's very important. The back should be straight. So if the lute body tong means no straight, lute or no chatong. If the body is straight, channel is going to be straight. If the channel is straight, energy will run through smoothly. Okay, so that's why you know, like sometimes meditation like that. You know, some you see, time to time, you know, yeah, people get tired. Then you know, people go like this. You know, then sometimes people go. So this all, on this. Oh yeah, so make sure, please, you know, sit properly. Oh yeah, that's good. This probably just. I'm worried that I'm going to have accident with my nose. My nose is important. So what we do, sit comfortably. So then use your left hand. Please, left hand. Left hand, okay? So then blow your left nostril. Inhale from your right nostril. Slowly, slow as possible, you know, slow, long. Then, exhale. That's one. In the base slowly, we'll do this three times, you know. Each time when we in, we'll do three times, okay? So begin with inhale. So then stop with exhale, okay? That will be three. Okay? Slowly. That's three. Oh. Everybody able to follow? Okay. So then right hand. Right nostril. Yeah. That's six. So now from both nostrils, no. In inhale. That's called 9-round breathing meditation. You can also visualize, you know, when you inhale, you can visualize that you are inhaling all the positive energies, you know, in the white colors. You know, filled with all part of your body. Then when you exhale, all the negative emotional thoughts, mainly I think in the ear, negative emotional thoughts, then physical difficulties, you visualize them as like pure black smoke. No, basically light in, smoke out. So then, you know, disappear in the space like that. So if you do it well, so I have one concern. You may think, oh, this is kind of simple meditation. Yeah. So simple meditation, but it has great benefit if you do on a daily basis. So then you do that. So the good things, you know, are also like, if your mind is kind of negative, if you're angry, not happy, agitated, jealous or something, not happy, if you do these meditations, it will help. How it helps? It will probably, like, your mental state, it will turn into neutral, rather than negative. It's so difficult to become positive out of negative. It's easy, relatively easy, becoming positive out of neutral than negative. That's the whole idea. So you do that, you know, then if your mind is neutral, so then, you know, it's easy to think something good. So then right after that, what do you do? there's another meditation, okay? There's another meditation. So then I'll read some of the books on the meditation. So if you are, you know, seriously looking for some kind of meditations, so we need to learn. You know, if you don't learn, or you think, oh, meditation is just, you just sit. So then I said, your meditation becomes like chicken meditation, no difference. No, it's just sit like chicken, you know. So, you know, you are not sure what chicken is thinking, but chicken is still, you know, chicken will really sit seriously, you know. Some chicken, they're loose. They sit quite seriously, you know. So some of the birds, they can sit in 1 foot. We don't care, we cannot sit in 1 foot. So sitting still doesn't mean meditations. That's very important to know. If you want to do productive meditations, if you want to do meditation that benefits your mind, so then we need to learn, you know, how to do those meditations. So then once we learn, so then I think we should do this meditation, okay? There's like 9 round breathing meditations. Well, to get rid of negative minds, you know, that's the goal, and also to especially getting rid of the wasteful energy, imbalanced energy that's been stuck in our channels and cause, you know, physical discomfort and contribute to the mental discomfort. Okay, so now that this second one is called 21 breathing meditation. 21 breathing meditations. So this is really now how to balance your mind and make your mind flexible. Flexible. Do you believe if you become more mindful? Do you believe if you become more mindful, do you believe that you become more flexible? No, that's good. Oh, that's good. So I'm not sure I believe it or not. So if you become more mindful, then you become more flexible. You think so? Yeah. Everybody thinks. That's good news. So anyway, so now this 21 breathing meditations in the same, you know, you just said. So now different is, in this meditation, what we do, so we are trying to balance our mind, okay? Balance our mind, or another way you can say, you know, make your mind flexible. So also not just that, you know. So concentration produces calm mind, peaceful mind. If you're looking for peaceful mind, calm mind, you concentrate. According to ancient Buddhist teachings, the way to calm your mind, you know, have peaceful mind, is concentrate. Sande chishi, lo yuto, wisdom liberates. Concentration produces calm mind, peaceful mind. You concentrate. So in this case, we are using our own breath. Breath as object. So you sit comfortably. Then we count 21 times. Okay, 21 times. Without mistake. So then in between, if you make mistake, no excuse. Need to go back all the way. Go back. Need to start from the...
Start over.
Start all over again. Okay. So we'll do this together. First... First, exhale. Probably better from nose. From nose. So each time when you inhale, you count. That's one. Each time when you inhale, you count. First, exhale. Inhale, that's one. Two. Like that. No. So then we do this 21 times. 21 times. So now see how you feel, okay? So, everybody knows, understand? Huh? Yeah. Inhale. Like this. Inhale. So then, exhale. There's one. Inhale. Exhale. Exhale. So see, exhale. Inhale. There's one. Exhale, inhale, that's two. Each time when you inhale, you count, okay? So then we count 21 times. 21 times. So you may hear some voice, you may be thinking something, just let them go. Just follow the numbers, okay? Ready? how we did? Good? Success? No success. Huh? No. So now here, whole point is to count 21 times without any mistakes. Count the 21 times. So, one more time. Try one more time. Huh? One more time. So, yeah, the best place to do it, if there's no noise, that's the best place to know. Sometimes there's no choice. So, we have to be flexible. So here, in this case, you have to be flexible because we hear noise here, there. It sounds kind of simple, but that's a great benefit, if you do that, properly, okay? So maybe one more time, then we'll stop. Enough time? Yeah. Please, try. You can do it at home. Okay, you can do it at home. This 9 round breathing meditation and also this 21 breathing meditation. So, and this is not only way to, to develop concentration. So, so now that we all learn, the very purpose of doing concentration meditation is to produce calm mind, peaceful mind. That's all. Calm mind, peaceful mind. So there are many different meditations. Placing your whole attention on breath, on the physical object, on breath. There's many different physical movement, walking meditations, all this, try to help you to be more, mindful. So that's a way to produce mental happiness, mental calmness in the mind, becoming calm, mentally calm, like that, okay? So maybe first answer those two questions, so then I'll read something.
The question is, how do you teach a bossy young student that thinks he knows everything?
You must know that, Geshe-la.
Huh?
You must know that.
So we have different system. It is not going to work in America.
Okay, so first I would check and make sure that this bossy young student, maybe he really does know something. So maybe you should listen to what he's saying and see if it's correct. And maybe you should follow what he says, this or she says. But if you realize that what this person is saying is not true, or he doesn't know everything, then clearly he's, what would you call a, there's three types of pots. There's the upside down pot, and the leaky pot, and the dirty pot. So he's probably a dirty pot. So he's not really a proper vessel for your teaching yet. So maybe you need to either adjust the way you teach or what you're talking about to make it easier for this person to understand, or just wait until he's a proper vessel, or he or she is a proper vessel. Oh, yeah, so thinks he knows everything, so it's a he. So that's what my thought is, you know.
Another question.
So this question is it wrong to use termite control to prevent termites or to spray your home if you have roaches? This question has come up many times, and I think it's not, there's not a really easy answer. I mean, the teachings clearly say not to harm or to kill, right? That's one of the things we're aiming for. But I think each one of us has to evaluate where we are on a continuum. And so, if this is something that's a real challenge and you're taking the teachings to heart and trying to figure out where to begin, one of the things you can try is not killing them if you see them running across your floor, but, try to capture them and put them outside. Or there's all kinds of things you can do when you capture them so that the beings that you capture, you can, if you have any kind of holy object, you can hold the holy object and put the insect around it three times, say mantras and blow on them. So I think we each need to figure out our own way to work with this, because just the hard and fast rule to say, well, yeah, the teachings say it's wrong, well, for some people that might not be practical, So it's, I think it's really a complicated question.
Anybody wants to contribute? So, the second question, I think, there is answer, from the Buddhist point of view, there is answer. No matter what kind of circumstance, should not take life. But now question is, how seriously you follow the answer? But it's not like there's no answer. There is answer. Okay, there's answer. So, like taking any life, any circumstance, no good, not advisable. So now, His Holiness often says, being practical. So, this is the one question that really makes me really, so usually that's what I tell you. There's answer, answer. So. If you ask Buddhist monks, you'll probably know what they're going to say. They're going to say, no kill. That's what they're going to say. Experiential understanding of that questions, so I can say something. Because also there's cockroach in my house too. There's cockroach. So certain thing that you can do, you can buy that bazooka. There's one something, I'm not sure how to, you can really show, but this long. Then the bottom, there's something you can press. So then you press that will generate some kind of air power. So then when you pinpoint to the cockroach, you press that button, this will suck chorus into this small, you know, small part. But it doesn't harm chorus at all because very the how you say this the the tip of the pipe is very soft. No, sometimes you know, you are not going to be successful all the time because chorus they are so fast, you know? So you have to be very, very careful. So it's kind of like probably not. No, it's not. It's all there is a hunting cockroach. Hunting cockroach. It's kind of you get kind of excited, you know, to catch them, to catch them rather than kill. If you kill them, it's finished. You know, then the many of them you get kind of get excited, you know. So when they are going to show up, so usually you are kind of angry, you know, when they show up, you are angry. So in this case, you are kind of excited. Yeah. So then when they are show up, then when they show up, then you are going to catch them, you know. So then you go with that, you know. So after that, you're kind of happy that how many you catch. You know, really. So that's probably one way to, you know, deal with that. You know. So I'm not sure you can do that with the traumas. I'm not sure. So anyway, so in the end, you know, so like, you know, time to time, people ask, okay, I'm about to put my dog into sleep, so is there any advice, Gita, you can give me? So I say, probably not, should not ask me, you know, should ask me. So, and you're asking me, so I can only say it's not good to, you know, okay. So then it's up to you. So you, whatever decision that you make sure that you don't feel bad, you know. So then you take full responsibility. That's all I can say. The first one, you know, so maybe there's so many different reasons, you know, that kids become bossy, or maybe, you know, not necessarily probably always, you know. If the kids tell you, okay, I know more than you does, then I think that's a different case. If you're just assuming, or that's what I noticed that through his action, that he's telling that he know more than I do. So also, you know, there's answer. But the question is, how seriously you follow the answer? So any circumstance, you know, the reason I'm saying this, you know, sometimes they do all kinds of things, because I've met a number of them in also Mexico, you know, Mexico. Sometimes they do things, you know, to get attentions. So then also I heard, you know, how little attention they get when they're young. That's kind of heartbreaking. So the only thing they are looking for is just some attentions. They want you to know where they are, what they do, rather than nobody knows where they are going, what they are doing, you know. So, like, since that's, you know, kind of heartbreaking. So, anyway, maybe there may be some different reasons, you know, different reasons. So, anyway, according to one of the masters, you know, any circumstance, the beings, you know, in this case, human beings. Someone who are very much disturbed by their mind disturbed, not happy for some reason, no, disturbed. So whenever you encounter like that, you know, so what do you do? Rajin, you basically the best thing if you can think like this, exactly the way the master said. If you can think, oh, this is, you know, like it's like finding a precious jewel. Finding a precious jewel, but that's not easy, no? So that's what they suggest, you know? So whenever you encounter these, you know, negative beings, so then if you can think, oh, this precious jewel means because of that, there's opportunity to practice patience, there's opportunity to practice loving kindness. And some of the people, they said, you know, so you receive a lot of love, cares, when you really don't need. When you are desperate, that means that you are in some trouble. Trouble? When you are desperate for some love, some care, and people just, you know, say you are bad, you know, you are doing this and that, you're bad. So that time they say, I'm desperate for, you know, some nice word from my parents, some help, but, you know, you don't get. So that's something to us probably need to keep in your mind, especially when your kids into, you know, trouble. So, you know, you give, you know, like time-wise, that's going to be the best, you know, the gift, because that moment, they are desperate for some, how you say, support and some cares. So then some of them say, you know, they don't get. What they get is opposite. It makes them worse because, you know, they are only looking for some. So then hear all this, you know, like complain. So I think need to be skillful, you know, where to deal with, you know, this, you know. So naturally, every being, you know, fundamentally is all good, but, you know, there we have to separate their behavior and themselves. Themselves is not negative. The behavior, you know, is negative. Then according to that, whatever countermeasure is necessary for the needs to take. That's all I can say. No? So anyway, today, a little more times, what I would like to talk, so this is more like discussion, okay? These books that I've been reading is, how is it, one of the mind-changing texts. It's like Pico in the prison group, poison, or Pico in the poison group. So, so indeed, you know, these books, there's all so many things listed, you know. Okay, say if somebody criticizing you, how you look at that? If you're losing your friend, how will you look at that? You know, if you're finding so difficult to find a friend, when you find one and you lose right away, what is that? How I can understand that situation? Why is it happening? Why is people are criticizing me? Why my friend becoming my enemy? Why this? Why that? There's so many why. So now, this, you know, books, you know, suggest to look at the situation from, like, you know, understanding of the karma point of view. Look at that. So now today here, karma, you know, then there's positive, there's negative karma. There's two different types of karma. Negative, positive means basically means actions. You know, positive action, negative actions. So. So that positive action and negative action is very much based on your intention. Karma lernams. Karma. Karma is opposed to the white, the black, the lernam, sambasange. It's very much depend on your intentions. If your intention is good, everything is going to be good. That means the root is now something positive. No. If your mind is negative, then everything becomes negative. So therefore, everything's depending on your mind. Everything depends on your mind. So that's what Lama Tsongkhapa said. So now conclusion of that, that, you know, quote, you know, there's one stanza, four lines, quote. The conclusion of the quote is to, now you realize everything's come down your mind. So now it says, if mind is good, then all action become good. But it's very simple. It's put into whole karma teaching. It's just one stanza. Positive, negative karma is dependent on the mind. If the mind is good, everything will be good. If the mind is negative, everything will become negative. So therefore, everything depends on the mind. That's the last line of the stanzas. So now, what we learn, you know, so now the question is how to think good. How to think good. Any circumstance, okay? That's one, just want to share that. So that's kind of the conclusion of, you know, looking at the situation through, you know, karma understanding. Okay, why this, why that, you know, why this, you know, why people don't like my hair, why people they don't like my clothes. So no matter how many times I change, they always complain about my clothes. The list goes on and on and on and on and on. Why some people say that I don't look very happy, why other people say I look happy even though I'm not happy, all kind of things, you know. Right? Sometimes you hear directly, sometimes you hear indirectly, or somebody says something, somebody says, this person says to you, this is that, then you say, wonder, you know. All this, all of karma. So now, so today, this morning, you know, so I thought what I'd like to do, you know, there are like two different types of happiness. I just want to discuss with you. Two types, human happiness and divine happiness. So divine happiness, we don't know. So now human happiness. So there's something really I'm kind of interested to talk about, to discuss with you, human happiness. So now the questions raised, what is human happiness? How you define human happiness? That's important to talk. How you define human happiness? Easy in the word, but quite difficult to define. So now within the human happiness, there's many, many different. So now what is the best form of human happiness? Me, Dewa Chok, me, they want me, human, they want his happiness, choke, the best human happiness. So now, each one of us has something to contribute, how to define. So, what is human happiness? What is human happiness? So please, no. I want to hear from, if possible, from all of you, you know, here, to maybe to discuss. So maybe through discussion, maybe we'll find ways to become, you know, achieve human happiness. Maybe we may not know what is human happiness. Maybe we are looking for something else. No?
Yeah, happiness is one of those words that it's really difficult to define because it means different things to different people.
Yeah, so now human happiness, that's like physical happiness, mental happiness. Right? That's part two. That's what I'm thinking. Mm. When you divide physical, mental. Oh?
Yeah. So I think, and human happiness, I think maybe human happiness quite simply is like when things seem to be going our way, right? We're able to derive some kind of happiness from that. Like when we have enough
things,
to
things
eat.
Goes in our way.
When things go our way, right?
How long?
Well, hopefully forever. This is the problem, right?
So make sure we don't get bored.
That's right.
So now everything's, now there's nothing to worry. Well, maybe there's something wrong.
Yeah.
But there's nothing to worry. Maybe I should worry.
Yeah.
So now make sure, you know, like when we say like everything goes in our way, so more likely, you know, that's probably not going to,
yeah,
unfortunately, not going to happen. But
that's
anyway.
Right. But yeah, this is the problem, right? Because this is how we define happiness. If things are going our way all the time, if all of our physical needs are met, we have proper clothing, enough clothing. We have shelter. We have food. If all of our needs are met, typically we say that is happiness. And if we don't have those things, if we don't have enough food, and if we don't have the proper clothing, if we don't have the things that we define as those things that make us happy, then we're unhappy. And so, but from a physical perspective, yeah, if everything is going our way and we got everything we think that we need, then we feel, yeah, I'm okay, I'm happy. Yeah, but then when it doesn't, that's a trick, right? Yeah.
So now the human happiness, you know, so here we are trying to relate that in our life. Okay, we are not really necessarily thinking about like 5 billion human beings on this planet. That's, you know, I think, too big task to tackle right now, I think. So we think being here in America last 15 years, yeah, this like still, you know, like blow my mind, you know, the food that you have, choice of the food that you have is like, I'm not sure, like, so like that's probably, I like, just amazing, there's so many food. So now, clothes. So, you know, I'm monk. I should have less, much, much less compared to you. So that's monk, supposed to live very simple life. So, when I was in the monastery, I don't have own lot of clothes because, you know, this is like, this cloth will last probably easily, years, 1 year easily, you know. So this is like with everything. When you go to out, this outfit. When you go stay inside, this whatever wear. When you go to, I don't think monks go to parties. So if somebody invites you, so you don't have a special cloth, you just go with that. You know? Then you can say that is party cloth too. So that's a very simple cloth. So physical happiness, I think, clothes, you know, even somehow you generate, you know, like this extra, you know, shoes, extra clothes. So now, I say, last time when my teacher came, I had to hide a couple of shoes, make sure he don't see that I have, you know, like four pair of shoes or 5 pair of shoes, you know, wondering. So anyway, so the most of them are old. It's not like, you know, new. It's most of them old. So anyway, so the point is, when it comes down to physical happiness in America, so we look at our life, okay, no, we are not thinking about every single people in America, okay? We are thinking what we experience, you know? When it comes down to physical happiness, do we have anything to complain? The clothes that you have, the food that you eat. So, you need to think about that, you know, like, there's so many clothes, you know, so like, especially when you're about to move to one place to another place, or that's kind of like nightmare. So, you know, because of all the stuff that you generate. So anyway, so so pretty much we learn, you know, like having like three pair of shoes, that's not really happiness. Including myself, I learned that, you know. So I do believe when I was in monastery, oh, if I get that shoes, so then maybe I'm going to be happy. So I work very hard to get that shoes. No matter what it takes, I'll get the shoes. When I get the shoes, maybe 3-4 days after that, finish. So, yeah, so I think maybe somebody want to say something, please. Yeah, human happiness. You know, how we define human happiness, very important.
Two kinds of human happiness occur to me. One is when you have harmonious and loving relationships within your family and with the people you work with. And the other is the deep joy of experiencing beauty.
Oh, very good, very good. So now, are you bored? Are anybody bored? No? Because I think it's important. Because why I become monks looking for happiness? Probably why you came to Kadamba Center, probably wondering, maybe just something to learn that I become more happier. So it's very important for you and for me. It's important for you to hear from me. It's all the same time, it's important for me to hear from you how you define happiness. So then maybe there's something to discuss. You know? Yeah. So.
A little bit of what I've found that helps me understand happiness is being content. So looking at whatever you have and rejoicing in that. Mm-hmm. I think it's very easy. You know, I know people, and I've even seen this in myself, you have a nice house and you have a good car and a lot of money, but you want more. You know, it's I need a bigger car, I need a bigger house, mm-hmm. I don't have the right TV. And that, so I think, especially in this country, a lot of unhappiness comes from that, from always wanting more. Instead of being able to say, what I have is enough. Mm. You know, the car I have is fine, it runs, I don't need a nicer one. The clothes I have are fine. The house I have is fine. All these things, just being at peace with what is happening right now and what you have, instead of always craving more and wanting more.
Yeah, very good. So now I would also like to ask questions, you know. According to her, according to you. So now, what it requires to have, you know, like, harmonious relationship? So I'd like to raise that question. What it requires, you know? So now the question is, you know, when we discuss, you know, especially here in America, people are very smart. So not just saying that to make you happy, you know, he's already said, you know. Many people can read and write, you know. Yeah, generally speaking, so a lot of invention took place in this country. So that means people are smart, educated, you know, believe or not. So now, you know, she said, you know, human happiness, harmonious relationship. That's very true. And also, you know, like co-worker, like how you say? Second part?
The deep joy of experiencing beauty.
So now the first one, you know, what is required? So somebody say patience. So now, how to practice that? It leads to somewhere else. Yes. So now here, very true, chokshe, contentment. Tibetan word, chokshe, contentment. So that's very true. You know, being content, what we have. So now the question is, why we are not doing that? Why? So we know if you content, so that's maybe one way to define human happiness. So now contentment, this word is not rocket science. Everybody knows the word contentment. So now I think I'm not sure. Oh, yeah. Why we buy more? Why? Why we are not content? So now, why you are not content? No, like, and what is required to be content? What is required? How much? How much? How many cars? We have like 100 cars. Are you going to be happy? That's not true, because some people in Hollywood, when you look at them, sometimes time to time they show their garage, how many cars they own. And after a couple of months, they have fight with their girlfriend. They they beat each other like this. They're not that, So now the question is, how much I need to be content? How many pairs of shoes I need to be content? So like that. So that is each discussion that leads to another question. That is very good. Choksha contentment.
My experience is this. When I was a child, I would wait for Christmas. Christmas would come, and literally as soon as I was done opening everything, I felt bad. A whole nother year, I have to wait. And over time, and working at different jobs, and coming here, working in a group to accomplish something is contentment for me, helping others.
Dr. Brown, you want to say something about that we are discussing about how to define human happiness? Maybe a medical point of view. How to define human happiness? How to define... what is that? That's not true. I never had drugs in my life. Human happiness. How to define human happiness?
If we can accept what we have, not that we may not aspire for a better situation, but if we can accept the situation as it is, then life is good. But if we're always craving more and more, then never satisfied. There's no peace.
Why we are craving more and more? Why?
Good question. I think it's karma, but on a more practical level, I think when we see things that are desirable, like attractive people, like that relationship, that object, that car, whatever it is, we project qualities that are beyond what's actually there. You know, we which causes the clinging. Then when we finally get what we want, we realize that it's not that good. And not only that, it doesn't last. We're always left, it's always in a state of degeneration. It's in a state of disappearing. So nothing ever quite lives up to our expectations. And we're always left like, okay, now what? Now what?
Sometimes like the craving for sugar. I think we all have these problems, craving for sugar. So once you diagnosed with diabetic. So in my case, I am I'm having 2-type diabetic, so I can't eat sugar, but from time to time I crave, So now the knowledge about diabetics kind of stopped me to reaching my hand over to cheesecake. So I don't think twice. When I encounter cheesecake, I think twice. Not because I want to, I'm happy to give up cheesecake. I'm not. So if somebody asks, are you happy to give up cheesecake? I will say, no, I really much want to eat cheesecake. So now, knowledge of the diabetes, make me think twice. So now the question, I was wondering, what kind of things will stop us to crave more? In this case, probably no choice. No choice, or maybe, I'm not sure, but you know, anyway, what will help? What will help? Meditation, reading more, what will help? What, like, how, like, we, like, what things will help us to craving more and more? And knowing that leads to more suffering, and sometimes not wanting to be suffered, and constantly, you know, going to the path that leads to suffering. So, what kind of things will help us to, you know, stop? Or say, enough, that's enough, you know, that's enough. Probably, you know, you suffered too long, now that's enough, stop. Like how, you know, so, not sure, probably, time is running out, now time is way over. Sorry, maybe, yeah, there we are.
I think that one of the ways that we have to create happiness is not to be discontent with a lot of things that we can't change. For example, I'm not very tall. Mm. Now, you can hear about some people who think if only they were 6 inches taller, they would attract more girlfriends, or they would be more handsome, or people would like them better. And there's maybe some truth to that, but after all, my mother was only 4'9", and so I was born relatively short, and nothing can be done about it. And so it would just be a sure formula for lifetime unhappiness if I had this mental outlook that I just should be taller. Or suppose, just due to my genetics or whatever, I haven't much hair on my head. And I've, since I was 30, I've been practically bald. Well, some people just feel that's terrible, and that they spend money, they go places, they try to do something about that. There's another formula for how you could just make yourself unhappy for the rest of your life. I think somehow you have to adjust yourself to what nature dealt you and accept it and be happy with it and get on with other thoughts like happiness begins when you think of benefiting others, things like that. Fit into the environment you're in and not worry about all the things you can't change.
Oh, very good. Thank you. So now time is run out. Maybe, you know, next Sunday, you know, if you want to, if you're kind of shy to say something in the here, please write it down, put it here, so I will more than happy to read. So I really want to read what your thoughts about, you know, happiness. So this is not about, you know, becoming religious or becoming Buddhist. It is about simply we are trying to find how to be happy. No, that's you know, that's all. No, so I really want to, you know, hear from you, because I really want to, everything that I learned is from Buddhism. No. So then I really want to hear from you, based on your day-to-day life experience, how you define happiness. So then, you know, maybe there's, you know, maybe we'll find number of, like, how to say, answers, very good answers through the discussions. So then we'll benefit bigger, you know, levels. So that's all my goal, okay? So next, Sanjay, please. Say, because some prayer, there's a, may I obtain the best form of human happiness and divine happiness. So divine happiness now, that's, so we don't know, so just set aside that, me, the worship. So now I'm thinking, saying this prayer, I'm thinking, oh, in my mind, the question raised, what is really human happiness? Question raised, no, I'm praying this, what is human happiness? So then you think, oh, what is the best form of human happiness? I'm just question raised in my mind. So I was wondering, you know, then the first, how to define human happiness. So then after that, how to achieve that, you know, what is required. So next time the police, you know, continues that, you know, so then to talk, more contribution is, you know, appreciated. So if you are, you know, uncomfortable talking to the here. So we are all, you know, we are not judging, you know, what you said. You know, we simply want to learn from you. That's all. You know, we are not here to testing you or how well you are saying. We just want to learn. Same, everybody just want to hear, you know, to learn how to overcome from suffering, how to be happy, how to be kind. That's all. So, and everybody should, you know, contribute, you know, contribute. So next Sunday, if you not come, you please write it down. So here, so, you know, then my pronunciation is not that great. So, you know, I'll ask Venerable Nuns to read. So we'll read and see what people have to say about human happiness. Okay? Maybe the meditation is only not answer. You know, so maybe you don't need to do meditation. Maybe there's ways to become happier rather, you know, besides meditation. Or maybe this is the only solution. No, don't know. Yeah. So we have lunch?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. So to be quick. So.
Okay. So let's see the dedication verses on the pink sheet and the prayer book, starting with the very first prayer. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with the mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drink. May the poor find wealth, the sick with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvest. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be free from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid, and those bound be free. May the powerless find power, and may people think of benefiting each other. In the land encircled by snow mountains, you are the source of all happiness and good, all powerful Tenrin, please remain until samsara ends. Savior of the snowland teachings and transmigratory beings, who extensively clarifies the path that unifies emptiness and compassion, to the lotus in the hand, Lord Tenzin Gyatso, I beseech, may all your holy wishes be fulfilled. The one who masters speech at a very young age, the one with great patience received the name Avatara, the one with great precision who spread the teachings of Lama Tsongkhapa on bliss and void, Lama, ornament of the yellow hat tradition, please remain until samsara ends. You uphold the steward's moral way, who serve as the bountiful bearer of all, sustaining, preserving, and spreading Manjanath's victorious doctrine, who masterfully accomplished magnificent prayers honoring the three jewels, savoring myself and others, your disciples. Please live long. Avalokiteshvara, great treasure of non-objectifying compassion. Manjushri, master of stainless wisdom. Tsongkhapa, crown jewel of the sages of the land of snows. Tulosangdrapa at your feet. Amen. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha.